Welcome, welcome, friends and family. Thank you for joining me today. Hallelujah, what an awesome, amazing day this is. Or week, I should say this is. I think this is Tuesday. We're almost into the middle of a week. Praise God. Praise God for the Word of God. And it's my prayer that you receive from this channel nuggets of gold from God. So I pray that. My husband prays that. And we're praying over each and every one of you that visit this channel. Thank you for visiting. If you're new, my name is Gail Manizak with City Changers Illinois, also co-founder of Morning Star Ministries Group. And we are an intercessory ministry taking territory for Jesus one day at a time, one prayer at a time. Amen. Praise God. Okay, we are in Matthew chapter 5. It's an amazing chapter. Jesus is teaching his disciples. Well, you know what? We are his disciples. So let us take this teaching seriously and once again, I'm speaking this message out of Matthew 5 out of the version called Easy. And I wanted to do that so that anyone who read it would be able to understand what the Bible was saying, that we might learn quicker, that we might apply it to our hearts quicker as we understand God's Word. So here Jesus is teaching us, amen? Jesus saw that the crowds were following him, so he went up on a hill and he sat down there to teach them. His disciples came near to listen to him, and he began to teach them, and this is what he said to them. And this is what we need to hear. Happy are the people who know that they need God very much. The kingdom of heaven belongs to people like that. Happy are the people who are sad now. God will come near to help them. Happy are the people who are kind. The whole earth will belong to them. Happy are the people who want to obey God as much as they want to eat food. God will give them everything they need. Happy are the people who help other people and who forgive them. God will forgive people like that. Happy are the people who have only good thoughts. They will come near to God and see him. Happy are the people who bring people together to be friends. Now, there we go. That's my subject lately, the unity that Jesus prayed for us to have. I think was one of Jesus's last prayers that we would have unity. So this reminds me that happy are the people who bring people together to be friends. Don't we all like to have friends? I do, but I'm really picky about the friends that I choose. I want friends that don't gossip, don't slander, don't use other people's names, can keep confidences, and are walking hand in hand with Jesus. And all of us should be that particular about the friends who are in. I'm not saying our whole territory of friends, but our whole inner circle of friends, those that we let in on the inside. So when we meet friends, the Lord helps us to be able to discern whether they're friends that would be close to us in our inner circle or that they would just be friends. If you know what I mean by that, there are only certain ones that are going to be in our inner circle, which does not make us a clique. We don't have to be cliquish to have an inner circle of usually probably two or three people that you would confide in, that you would believe that they would pray for you when you asked, or even when you didn't ask, when they saw you had a need. People who loved you enough not to talk about you. People who loved you enough not to judge you, condemn you. Amen. So, the kingdom of heaven belongs to people like that. Whoops, wait a minute. Let me back up. I missed a verse 10. Happy are the people who bring people together to be friends. And listen to this. God will call them his children. Happy are the people who do what is right, but other people hurt them because of it. The kingdom of heaven belongs to people like that. Yes, happy are you when people say bad things against you because you believe in me, because you believe in Jesus, is what he's saying. Or they may hurt you, or they may say things about you that are not true. God is preparing many good things for you in heaven because of all that you're going through. People talking about you, people slandering you. But God has great things ahead for you. So you should be very happy when people do these bad things to any of you. People did these things to God's prophets who lived long ago. So this has been happening forever and ever and ever since the time began. People, prophets had prophesied it, that these things would happen to people. In verse 13, Jesus said, "You are like salt for the people to taste and use." Well, salt is good, but if it is not salty anymore, you cannot make it salty again. So people can no longer use it for anything. They just throw it away and they walk on it. You are like the light for everybody in this world. Now listen closely, friends. This is instructions to us. You are like a light for everybody in this world. You are. If people build a city on a hill, then other people can see it easily. It's talking about you. Nobody lights a lamp and then puts it under a pot. He will put the lamp in a high place, high, where everybody can see it. Everybody who's in the house can then see the light from the lamp. So you must be sure that your light shines well. Then you will give light to other people. They will see all the good things that you do. Then they will praise God, who is your Father in heaven. And then as we go to verse 17, Jesus talks about the laws that Moses gave to the Jews. Jesus said, "You should not think that I have come to destroy God's law. Also, I have not come to destroy the messages that God's prophets wrote down. No, I have not come to destroy their words." This is Jesus saying this. "I have not come to make what they taught become true. I tell you this," he said, "one day even the earth and the sky will finish. But while they remain, God's will or God's law will also remain. Nobody can remove even the smallest thing from it. The law will remain until everything has happened." So do we live by the law? No, we live under grace. Jesus paid a high price for us to live under that grace. But grace is not our ticket to sin. Grace is what's upon our life from all that Jesus did for us to make us not want to sin. I know some people in this world in that grace, you know, I don't even know what you call it. There is a grace message going around that is not I think they call it greasy grace, actually. It's like you can do anything you want and God will forgive you. No, I'm sorry, that's wrong. God does not wink at sin. I guarantee you, you will be chastised. You will be chastened by the Lord when you sin, if you're his child. And the Bible tells us why, and I'm not sure where the verse is, but he will chasten those that he loves. Be glad for the chastening if you've done anything wrong. So, where did I leave off? The law will remain. It's not going to be taken away. Then God will call that person great in the kingdom of God that keeps the law, that obeys the law. And I tell you this, you must always do what is right. You must live in a way that is better than the teachers of God's law and the Pharisees. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about during his lifetime, it was the Pharisees, the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious sect, you might say, of that time that crucified the Son of God. So he says, you must live in a way that's better than the teachers of God's law and the Pharisees. You will never come into the kingdom of heaven if you do not do better than them. You will never come into the kingdom if you do not do better than them. And then we go into a slight bit of a different teaching in regard to anger. As we go to verse 21, Jesus then says, you know the rule that God gave to your ancestors. You must not kill anyone. Any person who does kill someone will stand in front of a judge. And that judge will punish him because he has done a wrong thing. But what I now say to you is this. Anybody who is angry with his brother will have to stand in front of a judge. Or someone might call his brother by a bad name. Then he will have to stand in front of the Jewish leaders. They will judge him. But someone may say to his brother, you're a fool. God will judge that person. God may punish him in the fires of hell. I want to tell you here in verse 522, when Jesus used the word brother, he was also talking about any special friend, right? You know how we call ourselves brother, sister, and we're not really blood brothers and sisters, but we are sisters, brothers and sisters in the Lord. So God will judge that person. God may punish him in the fires of hell. Maybe you go to the temple to give your gifts to God. You take it to the altar. But then you remember that your brother is angry with you. You must leave your gift there in front of God's altar. First, you must go and find your brother and tell him that you're sorry. Then you can both become friends with each other again. After that, you can return to the altar and you can give your gift to God. So then, basically what it's saying is your gift will be acceptable at that time. Also, he says, somebody may say that you have done something wrong against him. He may take you to stand in front of the judge. In other words, he might take you to court. He might be going to sue you. You should quickly try to agree with this person. Decide with him how to make things right again. Do this even while you're going with him to the judge. If you do not do that, the judge may agree that you have done a wrong thing. And then he will give you over to his officer. His officer will put you in prison. I tell you this, you will remain in prison until you have paid all the money, even the last small coin. In verse 27, Jesus teaches people about bad thoughts. Jesus then said, you know what God's rule says, you must not have sex with anyone who is not your husband or your wife. But what I tell you is this, a man may look at a woman who is not his wife, and he may want to have sex with her. In his thoughts, he has had sex with her. So he has done a wrong thing. If your right eye leads you to do wrong things, then you should what? What does the Bible say? You should take it out. You should pluck it out. Depends on the version that you're reading. You should throw it away. Yes, you will lose one eye, but it will be much worse if you keep your whole body and God throws you into hell. Also, if your right hand leads you to do wrong things, then you should cut it off. You should throw it away. You will lose one hand, but it will be much worse if you keep your body in one piece and you go to hell. Amen. Now we're talking about eternity. Let me see what that gives. Chapter 5, verse 30. Jesus does not want his disciples to cut their bodies. It's very important for them not to do wrong things. And Jesus is telling them this here. So then Jesus talks about a man who sends his wife away. God's law also says any man who wants to send his wife away must give her a letter. This letter must say that they are no longer married. But what I tell you is this. A man must not send his wife away except for one reason. He may only send her away if she has had sex with another man. If he sends her away for any other reason, he has done a wrong thing. It's like he has caused her to have sex with another man. Also, if a woman has left her husband, another man must not marry her. That is the same as if he had sex. As if he had sex with another man's wife. So that would, he would be committing adultery. Matthew goes on in verse 33 and he says, you also know how the rule that God gave to your ancestors. If you make a promise to God, you must do what you have said. But what I tell you is this, do not use any name to make a promise stronger. Do not use the words by heaven to make a promise stronger. Heaven is the place where God dwells. Do not use the words by the earth to make a promise stronger. The earth is the place where God rests his feet. Do not use the words by Jerusalem to make a promise stronger. Jerusalem is God's city. He is the great king who rules there. Do not use the words by my head to make a promise. You cannot make the color of even one of your hairs black or white. Instead, when you make a promise, you should only say, yes, I will do it. Or you should say, no, I will not do it. If you say anything more than this, what you say is wrong. It comes from Satan. Now, there's a lot in this one chapter. I'm going to verse 38 now. Jesus teaches how to love people, how we are to love people. Jesus, it says in verse 33, Matthew said, Jesus then said, you also know that God's law says, If somebody destroys your eye, then you should destroy that person's eye. If somebody destroys your tooth, then you should destroy that person's tooth. But what I tell you is this: if somebody does something bad to you, do not do anything against him. Somebody may slap you on the side of your face, then you should also let him slap the other side of your face. In other words, turning the other cheek. Maybe somebody wants to take you to the judge, and he says that you should give him your shirt. Give the man your shirt, and give him your coat too, the Bible says. Or a soldier may tell you, carry my luggage for 1 kilometer. You should do that. Even agree to carry for 2 kilometers. That would be going the second mile. When people ask you for something, you should give it to them. If they ask you to lend them something, then you should not refuse. You have heard people say this: love the people who are your friends, but hate those who want to hurt you. But what I tell you is this: you should love the people who want to hurt you. If people want to give you pain, pray for them. Pray that God would help them. If you live like this, you will show that you really are children of your Father above. God, He is kind to everyone. He causes the sun to shine on everyone, both good people and bad people. He also causes the rain to fall on everyone. People who obey Him and people who do not obey Him. So do you only love people who love you? God will not give you good things just for doing that. Even the men who take taxes, they love their friends. As I close in verse 47 and 48, Matthew says, if you are only kind to your friends, then you are not doing anything at all that is special. Even people who do not believe in God do that. So you must be good in every way, as your Father above is good in every way. Amen. We should let that be our motto, friends, as we close here. So you must be good in every way, as your Father above is good in every way. God bless you, each and every one. Thank you again for joining us. And we just feel so blessed that people would even listen to me speak. I make a lot of mistakes sometimes, and sometimes I have trouble with my throat, and you can't blame everything on the enemy, but I'll blame it on sinuses or something like that. But I just want to say God bless you, each and every one. My desire, our prayer, every single evening as we pray for you that you will be able to receive the parts of the Word of God that you're listening to and need to hear and need to grab hold of, need to get understanding of, and that will strengthen you, that will give you more knowledge, that will give you more wisdom, that will give you more discernment. We pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. We love you.